Hi, everyone, and welcome to Par 4 Parlay, the golf podcast that's part of the Total Sports 24/7 network. I'm Chris Hayes, your host. You can find me on X at Total Sports _247. Search Total Sports 247 on your favorite podcast app to find us. There you'll find all the different podcasts across the network within one feed. Upcoming on the network, we've got a ton of programming. So we just recorded our preview for the Rome quarterfinals and the ATP Tour. You can find that now live. Tomorrow, we will be recording Warning Track Power Hour with Fred Dinger 2-3 on X. And this weekend, we will have coverage of the final weekend of the Premier League in Premier League Payoff. That will come out on Friday. And we'll also have a preview of the Preakness for Racing Best Bets. That will also come out on Friday. And then later on, we will also have a preview of the conference finals in the NBA with NBA Fast Break. Fred Dinger 2-3 will be on board for that as well. So lots to look forward to from the network in the upcoming days. As far as the golf scene goes, we did not do very well last weekend at the Wells Fargo Championship. We really just should have gone with the favorite Rory McIlroy, but we decided to go with some long shots and some parlays that unfortunately did not work out. So to recap how Wells Fargo went, it was basically a two-man race until, I don't know, maybe the final nine holes or so, where Rory McIlroy just pulled away from Xander Schauffele, who Schauffele himself, I don't know, you can argue that he didn't really play well on the final day. Like, he played fine, and he certainly is, unfortunately, maybe starting to solidify this reputation as somebody who is going to collapse at the end of tournaments. But I don't want to be too harsh on Xander, because Rory shot a 65, which included, I think it was a double bogey on the final hole, to finish 17 under par, five strokes ahead of Schauffele for the win. In the top five, we had Byung-Hun Ahn with a very good performance at 9 under, shooting 66 on the final day. Jason Day and Sungjae Im tied for fourth with 6 under. Other top 10 players included Mackenzie Hughes and Denny McCarthy at 5 under. Max Homa and Sepp Straka tied for 8th at 4 under. And then to round out the top 10, we had Russell Henley with a good final day, Grayson Murray, who was pretty consistent every single day, and then Taylor Pendrith, who has come on in the last few tournaments to round out the top 10. As far as our picks, we had Matt Fitzpatrick at 35-1, which he played horribly until the final day. Unfortunately, he finished at tied for 52nd. He shot a 78 on the third day and rebounded for a 67 on the final day just to get into that 52nd slot. So not a good tournament for Fitzpatrick at all. So that was a whiff. We were looking for more of what he did on the final day throughout the tournament. Just didn't happen. And then we had Hideki Matsuyama at 35-1, but he, of course, withdrew. Table that for a second as we get before we transition into the PGA Championship this week. Other bets we had Xander, Wyndham Clark, and Max Homa for the top 20, and two of them came through. Wyndham Clark did not have a good tournament. He was consistently average 73, 73, 72, and 73 to finish 7 over at the par 71 course there at the Wells Fargo Championship, tied for 47. So he was the reason that we missed out on that. And then we had Fitzpatrick tied into a parlay for top 20 as well with Patrick Cantlay and Colin Morikawa. Cantlay had a pretty average tournament himself, finishing tied for 29th at 2 over. Morikawa was the only one in that grouping to make it into the top 20, and he almost didn't because he had a pretty bad day as well. On the final day at 74, but he had a good start to the tournament, which enabled him to finish tied for 16th at 1 under. The other play that we had that also lost, so we are really looking to rebound this week for the PGA Championship, we had Will Zalatoris at plus 110 over Tony Finau. They both were terrible, but Zalatoris was worse. So Finau was a plus 8. Zalatoris finished a top 10, including an 80 on the final day. So this wasn't looking bad for us. Zalatoris was ahead of Finau by I think 4 strokes on the final day, and then just had the worst day of the entire field on the last day. And so we lost that as well. So looking to recover for this weekend for the PGA Championship there in Louisville, Kentucky at Valhalla. So let's talk about, before we get into some of the favorites, the plays and the odds that we have, I want to talk about some golfers who we are avoiding because of concerns around their health. One is Will Zalatoris. This idea that he is fully healthy from his back issue, I don't know that people are fully believing it given his recent track record. There are a lot of people who will likely be betting Zalatoris because he does tend to perform well at majors. I myself am going to stay away from him. I'm not convinced that this back issue has straightened itself out. So he is a stay away play for us. And the other two golfers that we're concerned about on the injury front include Ludvig Åberg and Hideki Matsuyama. So Matsuyama did withdraw last week, as did Åberg. There is reports, so to speak, on the ground, on the field reports that Åberg is limping as part of his walks around the course prior to the tournament. And, you know, with Matsuyama withdrawing last week, he's just a stay away for us as well. We like Matsuyama this year, very much so. We did long term for like his results throughout the year, but not for this tournament. It's too soon coming back from a withdrawal. So those three golfers, Åberg, Matsuyama, and Zalatoris, we are staying away from this weekend at the Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky for the PGA Championship. To get into this course a little bit, it is one of the longer courses on the PGA Tour. It was the home of the championship back in 2014. That was the last time they hosted, and Rory McIlroy won that tournament. It is a par 71 and over 7,500 yards, 7,609 to be exact. It does tend to the look and feel of the course tends to be similar to what we saw last week at Quail Hollow. So if you think about the golfers who performed well last week, you might want to think about playing them this week as well. Another wrinkle in to consider for betting is the weather. It's going to be rainy and windy, maybe not throughout the entire tournament. Tomorrow will likely be fine, and maybe even into Friday for the first part of the day. But after that, keep an eye to the skies. Keep an eye to the weather reports. It's going to get windy. And there will be times where play will be stopped, very likely, in the first 4 days. So as part of the First Cut Pod, I was listening to Rick Gaiman, and he he's there now, and he was saying that it did rain while he was there. I believe it was maybe Tuesday that he was saying that it was raining, but that the course handled the rain quite well. So we'll see if the volume of rain affects how the course absorbs it and what that means for play throughout the 4 days. Are they going to have to try to compress some of the play? What's going to happen? Not sure yet, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on throughout this tournament. The weather it's not going to be perfect 100% of the time. That is for sure. So we said last week that we felt like the Wells Fargo Championship was going to be a favorites kind of week, and we are feeling similarly this week. So let's look at the odds for the top golfers. This is we're going to be looking at DraftKings for this, and this is live odds as of about 1 o'clock Eastern time. And Remember, because this is a PGA Championship, we'll have live golfers here as well. So the top five are Scottie Scheffler's 4.5 to 1, Rory McIlroy is 7.5 to 1, Xander Schauffele's 14 to 1, John Rahm 16 to 1, and Brooks Koepka is 16 to 1 as well. Going into the top 10, we've got Åberg at 22 to 1, Bryson DeChambeau at 28 to 1, Colin Morikawa at 31. And then Max Homa and Joaquin Niemann at 35 to 1 to round out the top 10. So who do we like for this weekend's tournament, and what are some of the plays that we're going to be looking at? Well, let's start with last week's winner, Rory McIlroy. He has been very accurate off the tee on the PGA Tour this year. He's not clearly as accurate as Scottie Scheffler, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't performed well off the tee. And he should be able to find fairways this week, which is a big part of winning on this course. His short game at Quail Hollow looked good, and that has been, you know, a little bit of a question for him, and his wedge play has been very much a knock on Rory throughout his career and this year as well. But wedge play on this course doesn't really factor as much as your ability to hit off the tee. So this course, again, favors McIlroy's strengths, right? You have to be kind of a good all-around golfer to win here, because like Quail Hollow, if there's one part of your game that is suffering, it will expose it. But at the same time, there are advantages to certain parts of your game, i.e. ability to hit fairways. And so this course, it does suit McIlroy again, and that's why he's going to be, you know, on this board at the second shortest odds there at plus 750. So if you believe in momentum, McIlroy is certainly a play to look at. And he, there's something about the layout of this course that suits his game. So McIlroy is somebody we will have our eye on, just because of the way he was able to pull away from Schauffele last weekend. I will say putting and scrambling for Rory, this is according to Bo McBrayer over at Betting Pros. He says that it's a problem for Rory on this surface, and he won't be able to miss greens and get away with it. But again, if we think about McIlroy and how he performed last weekend, and also, I mean, it was 10 years ago, but he has shown an ability to win on this course as well. So McIlroy is somebody to consider at plus 750. Again, second in the field behind Scottie Scheffler. Another big name to look at is Brooks Koepka. Now, we know that he likes the limelight. He likes to he likes the stage, and he likes to perform on the big stage. And you know, this is what he gets up for, right? He's I don't know that week in, week out, he's somebody that is that is invested maybe every single week, but he gets invested at big time events. And these are the kinds of events that he wants to win. It's almost like he does enough during the season at smaller tournaments, or even less. I mean, he's on LIV, so there's not as many eyes on LIV as there are on the PGA. So he gets up for these events, and he can kind of get away with biding his time for these big events where he just turns out. And again, he's a massive striker of the ball, which should be rewarded at this course. And I don't know if the odds are starting to straighten out a little bit with the LIV golfers when they enter these PGA tournaments. Koepka at 16 to 1, I think, is really good. I don't think that Schauffele should be ahead of Koepka necessarily. And I don't know that John Rahm should be tied with him at 16 to 1 either, given where Rahm's headspace might be. You know, his game is fine for sure, but with John Rahm, there are certainly, I think, legitimate questions surrounding, I don't want to say his mental state, because that's maybe a little bit too severe, but just where his mind is at because of his decision to go to LIV. It feels like I'll put it this way. No one is really talking about John Rahm's golf game that much. They're all talking about the questions that he's getting, the tenor of interviews. They're all about his decision to go to LIV, whether he regrets it, was it the right choice? Is he disappointed with the results of not everybody going over, like whatever it is, right? And there's just a de-emphasis on his actual results and play during the season. And I don't know, you just wonder if it's getting to him. And for that reason alone, I would put Koepka ahead of Rahm. But also, again, Koepka's showmanship, his ball striking ability, and his penchant for showing up in big tournaments. So we like Koepka a lot. We liked him in the Masters as well. He was fine there, right? But we think that he could do really, really well here. We think this is his kind of, I don't know, we think the timing might be right, maybe, for Brooks to shine, right? I'm just looking at the Masters results here, because I don't actually remember where he finished. As I'm pulling that up, he did not finish on the leaderboard, I guess, huh? He did not finish in the top 10. So, but we think he can, we think this is his time. I mean, we know he plays well at majors, right? 5 majors, I think, for his career for Brooks Koepka. So, we're not concerned about any past performance. It almost doesn't matter with Koepka because, again, he shows up, he can show up strong. Oh, he was tied for 45th. So, pretty disappointing showing for Koepka there at the Masters. Other golfers we have our eye on. I think you have to talk about Bryson DeChambeau because, again, he's one of the best strikers of the ball, and he played really well at the Masters. You know, talk about Koepka as being a disappointment. I mean, DeChambeau might have been disappointed because he got off to such a hot start. He ended up finishing tied for 6th at 1 over at Augusta National. So I think the odds for top 10 or DeChambeau are pretty good here. If he can just keep the rest of his game tight. The greens here, they won't be as fast. One, because of the rain, but two, just because of the way Augusta National plays versus Valhalla. So that, we think, is a net positive for DeChambeau and his game. So he's somebody we have an eye on as well. And then we have to talk about the hometown boy, Justin Thomas. You know, he hasn't won in 2 years, but the last tournament he won was the 2022 PGA Championship. And so, you know, I've been high on Thomas. I really, and I don't know if it's justified. I want to say it is, but, you know, he's had some, you know, good results this year. He finished okay at Quail Hollow. He was tied for 21st there. He finished tied for 5th at RBC Heritage, and then did not perform well at the Masters. But he's had some okay tournaments this year. He finished tied for 12th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He has missed a few cuts, so he's been up and down. We have to think it's going to come together for Justin Thomas at some point. We think it could be a little bit storybook, to be frank, that it comes together at this tournament, being that he's from Louisville and being that 2 years ago was the last time he was able to take home a victory on tour. But he does have an all-around solid game. His approach game is great. His short game is unbelievable. And he looked fine to decent last week. So he's somebody who I think with the longer kind of odds is worth a play. And I think that when you're going further and further down the odds boards this week, it's harder and harder to find value. Right now, Justin Thomas is at 50-1, We like those odds. And he's at 4-1 for top 10, which we like those odds as well. But as you dig down deeper into the field, with these guys who might get cut, it's harder to find somebody who you're willing to take a flyer on when you go, say, to the 10,000-to-1 range and below that. So Justin Thomas is another golfer that we have our eye on for this week, for a couple different reasons. One, his home course, everybody there is going to be rooting for him. And two, his decent performance last week. And three, his short game ability we like as well. So what are the plays that we are going to recommend here on Par 4 Parlay? So first, when we, again, looking at the leaderboard, we're going to go all in on Brooks Koepka at 16-1. That's going to be our first play. Brooks at 16-1, we think, is good value because we think he should have the third shortest odds, and he's tied with Rahm for fourth. So really he's in the top five, and we think he should be in the top three. So we like those odds for Brooks at 16-1. And we're going to go with DeChambeau as well. So two LIV golfers, but we're not going with DeChambeau to win. We're going to hedge it a little bit. We're going with top 10, just like the Masters, at plus 260. That's going to be our second play. We're going to take a look at some matchups here and see if anything stands out to us. The first one we're going to take is Justin Thomas at plus 100. And that is over Wyndham Clark. Clark did not have a good weekend last weekend. And again, with Thomas being home, we're going to bet that that's going to be a little bit of an advantage for him. So we like that. The second one we're going to take is Cam Young over Victor Hovland. Cam Young is plus 100 in that matchup. Young, he's consistent. And, he might not be a threat to win. He's got to kind of win one, and then I feel like if Young wins one, he might start to take off a little bit. But we don't think this is the one that he's going to win. But he's a consistent golfer. He's going to be in the mix. He should make the cut. And we like him kind of for like a top 20 to 30 finish. And we're not really sure where Victor Hovland's head is at either. Constantly tinkering with his game, mixed results as a result, and we're going to go with the steadier, we think. Well, maybe not steadier, maybe that's too extreme, but we just like what we've seen out of Young more than what we've seen out of Hovland recently. So that's going to be our second matchup play. And then that's probably going to be it on the matchups that are out there. Let's see if there's any parlays to close out here that we like. We don't like top five parlays in general. We feel like that's just too much to go for. And it looks like that's all that's listed right now. Oh, here we go. Here's some top 10 and some top 20s. So for top 20, if we look at what's listed here on DraftKings, there are a couple that are intriguing. The top one, Scheffler, McIlroy, and Brooks at 2-1. I think that's one we'll go for. I mean, that's pretty good. Scheffler, McIlroy, and Koepka at 2-1. I think the top three golfers in the field. Ahead of Rahm, ahead of Schauffele. So we like that. The others, it feels like there's just one player in the mix out of the three that we're not keen on. And so it doesn't really feel like anything here is worth a flyer. So we're going to pass on the rest of these top 20s. Let's just take a look one more at the total odds and see if there's anything else we like before we get out of here. Thomas, we are going to take separately as well. We did not mention that. So Justin Thomas, we are going to take at 50-1. And then we'll do a top 10 for Thomas as well at, let's see. Right now on DraftKings, he is at 4-1. We'd like that to be a little bit better, but we will still take it. Plus 400 for Thomas to finish in the top 10. Okay, so these are our official plays for par 4 parlay for the PGA Championship. We've got Brooks Koepka, plus 1,600. Bryson DeChambeau, and then Justin Thomas, plus 5,000 to win. Bryson DeChambeau will do top 10 at plus 260. And we like Justin Thomas top 10 at plus 400. And then the three matchups we like: Justin Thomas plus 100 versus Wyndham Clark, Cam Young plus 100 versus Victor Hovland. And then, those are the two matchups. And then the parlay we're going to go with is Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Brooks Koepka, all to finish in the top 20 at plus 200. So those are going to be our place for the PGA Championship. Enjoy the championship this weekend. It should be a very exciting 4 days. Remember that weather is going to be a concern, so you yourself might need to be available for long stretches of time if you want to watch the entire tournament. But enjoy the tournament this weekend, and we'll be back. Maybe we'll have another play or so, depending on how the tournament goes on 2 Minute Drill. But certainly stay tuned to the Total Sports 24/7 network for coverage across the sports spectrum this weekend. Again, search Total Sports 24/7 on your favorite podcast app to find us. This has been Par 4 Parlay, part of the Total Sports 24/7 network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.